worthy of all our praise. Amen. Sing with me. He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. Every chain will break, because we declare his heart in praise. Who can stop the Lord? Father, for you alone are worthy of all praise. There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. Do you believe that this morning? Did you come expecting? I said there's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this room, and it's got my name. It's got my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. In this room, and it's got David's name on it. There is a healing in this room, and it's here for you. There's a breakthrough in this room. Come on, you gotta claim it this morning. And it's got your name on it. But somebody's gotta put a praise on it. I said somebody's gotta put a praise on it. Come on, here we go. Come on, you got to put a praise on that miracle this morning. You got to bless God this morning because He is worthy. The Bible says if we put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, there's a miracle in this room with my name on it. There's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this room. It's got my name on it. Do this morning. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Yes, amen. Go to the top. There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. There's a healing in this room. It's here for me. There's a breakthrough. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I said, what you gonna do this morning? Are you just gonna stand by and let it go away? You gotta put your praise on it this morning. Because I know if I put on the garment of praise, the spirit of heaviness is lifted. Amen. I said, I'm gonna put a praise on it. Come on, church, here we go. Come on, let's get the praise going on this morning. He is worthy. I'm gonna put a praise on it.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
I said, what you gonna do? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm gonna put the praise on it this morning. Yes.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Yes, I'm gonna praise His holy name, for He is worthy.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Oh, what you gonna do this morning?
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Come on, let's sing it one more time.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
What you gonna do this morning?
Make up your mind right now to put a praise on
it.
Last time. Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout of praise this morning, for he is worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name this morning, for you are worthy. God, we thank you. We thank you that we serve an awesome God. A God that hears us when we call. Come on, let's bless the Lord this morning with our worship.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened, forever he will reign.
He's awesome.
Come on, church, sing it. Yes, he is.
He is awesome.
You know he is.
He is awesome.
Yes,
he is awesome. My healer,
my healer,
my healer,
I heal you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we sing this last song, I just feel like God wants you to know this morning that He is here to satisfy your every need. There are many of us in this room that come with many different needs, and the great thing about our awesome God is that He has come to fill your every need. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. Oh, I will open up inside. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. Come on now. And you provide the spirit. Oh, I will open up inside. Come on, sing it with me. You provide the fire. Church, I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. You gotta open up.
I will open up inside.
Feel
After righteousness, they shall be filled. Lord, so every one of us right now have as much of you as we desire. Lord, I pray that you'll increase every one of our hunger. Lord, increase our desire for you that we've never had before. Jesus, we need to know you more. We need to love you more. God, we want to pursue you even in a greater way. Jesus, our hearts are simple. We love you. Oh, this is an old hymn.
How I love you.
I feel the anointing.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Because he first loved me.
Because he first.
Come on, slide your hands to heaven. Let's love on Jesus. Stand or sit, it doesn't matter.
And oh,
oh my Jesus.
How I
I love you, Lord.
I said, oh, how I love Jesus.
And
so, oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first
loved me. Come on, church.
Love
on Jesus this morning. Lift your hands.
And oh, how I love
how I really love him.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Ah, the anointing. Jesus, we love you, Lord. God, our greatest passion is you this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll make yourself so real and a great revelation to each one, Lord, that's in this building. Jesus, we're not here for church. We're not here for religion. We're here for you. We love you, Jesus. So God, increase our passion for you. Oh, let's sing it again.
Whoa. How I love Jesus.
Come on, let it come out of your spirit. Let it come out of your spirit.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first.
Sing it one more time.
Because he
oh, you gotta say it again.
Because
I need you to say it again.
Because he first loved
one more time.
Me.
Come on, sing it with everything you got. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I
say, oh, how I love Jesus. Come on, sing. Hallelujah. There's no name under heaven which you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that baptized you in the Holy Ghost. It's in the name of Jesus that you are healed. It's in the name of Jesus that you are delivered. It's in the name of Jesus that we come before the Father. Oh, we love the name. But more than the name, we love Jesus. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with a fresh anointing for the love of Jesus. God, that we'll grow in love with you more than we've ever been before. God, I pray each one that is in a slight backslidden state or in backslidden state, that, Lord, they'll repent, be zealous, therefore, and return to their first works, and that's loving you. Lord, everything else on this earth will pass away. Lord, in 5 years, what we know is our reality will be changed. But you are constantly the same. Oh, how I love Jesus. I just sense the anointing. Holy Spirit, do your thing. Change lives this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, I gotta sing it again. I'm sorry. How I love Jesus. Brother David.
Because he first.
Oh, let's keep it quiet. Just real soft.
And oh,
come on, talk to him. Talk to him.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
In all you're getting, get Jesus. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
You know, the anointing is here. The reason the anointing comes is because God wants to touch you. And you know, many of us, we wait for God to touch us, but God is saying, no, why don't you touch me? The woman with the issue of blood didn't wait for Jesus to touch her.
Amen.
She went and touched Jesus. So some of you are sitting there and you're saying, well, I don't know. I don't feel nothing. Who cares whether you feel nothing?
Amen.
Are you pursuing Jesus for an emotion, or are you pursuing him because of who he is? And when you pursue him, you don't have to run far, because he'll always take you down. And that's a good thing. He'll just fill you up with his presence because he loves you. Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell three or four folks, I sure love Jesus this morning. Come on, make sure you don't sit down. Please do not sit down. Find somebody you don't know and say, I love Jesus.
How I love Jesus, and oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me, and oh, how I love Jesus, yes, oh.
Time to sign up for the next Women's Encounter. October 27th through 29th is the weekend you don't want to miss. The total cost is $325. It includes everything. We only have 9 spots left, so get your $100 deposit to me as soon as possible, no later than August 15th. For more information and details, see me or email me at carla@histabernacle.com.
God that I serve is the only true and living God, and his name is Jehovah.
He left heaven, came to this earth just to die for me and just to die for you.
We need a revival of the B-I-B-L-E and people that are going to follow the truth of Jesus without shame.
What you thought that you would never flow in to an extent, the power is coming into your ministry.
When you begin to lay hands on the sick, they've got to recover, because there's the DNA of miracle power in your body. Hallelujah. For your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
The Shuttlesworths have been doing this for generations, and they are known from all around the world. And now, they are coming to you.
Praise the Lord. I don't know if you're excited. I love the fact that we have this outdoor crusade coming to his tabernacle. Now, I want to encourage you, this is not an inexpensive ordeal. And we're believing God that in this house we'll be able to pay for every dime. Can I hear an amen? How many of you are soul winners? You love to win souls for Jesus. We've already had one individual sow $15,000. We have another gentleman that sowed $5,000. Maybe you cannot sow to that capacity, but I want you to start asking the Holy Spirit what you should give. And I want to remind you that you're not sowing into a church, you're not sowing into religion, you're sowing into souls. Yesterday, we were participating with the funeral of little Jeremiah, 12-year-old boy who was shot to death in Elmira last week. And you know, it was pretty intense. As you hear the children, there were many of the children that we bus in every single week in this place. It amazes me, and it was very sad. My wife perceived something that I didn't see. She saw that many of the children that we bus in, when they were at this funeral, none of their parents were with them. Not only do they have to live life, many of them alone, but they also had to participate with death alone. But I thank God that this house and the representation of this house. We were talking about little Jeremiah, and he was in my wife's class on Thursday nights. When he graduated from there, just before he graduated, he was with Minister Palko as well. And Minister Palko was able to lead him to Jesus Christ. And then he was in Uproar, the youth ministry. In every facet and stage, even to the place, and you need to hear this, how powerful God has placed this house with influence. Even to the place when he was on his way to the ambulance, one of our pastors was there praying with the parents. You need to recognize what God is using you for. We are here to change a generation, not create a religion or a church. We're here to change lives. And I want to thank you for all the time that you sow. Many of you sow much of your time and much of your money. And I want you to recognize that God is using every bit of that to change lives. As the children paraded past us to go see his body for the last time, my wife and I were right there in line. It blew me away how many, more her than I, because she was actually in the classes, how many of these young people she knew. And they grabbed a hold of her. Why? Because they're looking for somebody to love them. They're looking for someone to give them answers. And I want you to hear this very clearly. Thank God for you. Because God is using you to make sure that they have somebody with them. And today I want to pray for our community. You don't mind. I hope you don't mind. We're going to pray for our community. You see, we're not a city church. We're not a town church. We're a regional church. Even yesterday, on Friday, we got a call from His Thousand Hills, and there's a group of people that came to the Uproar Conference, and they were from New Jersey, and they said, our pastor would like to meet you. Could you please come down? And Pastor Cody and Pastor Chad and I went down with my wife, and we went down and we were ministering. Over 30 children got baptized, and the Holy Spirit began to speak with other tongues. And then the pastor had had me speak to his leaders, and afterwards spoke to me, and he says, you know what? We just don't know what we're doing, and we need help. Would your church be willing to help us? And it's a Nigerian church. Oh, baby, can they worship? A Nigerian church. Pastor, can you help us grow the kingdom of God here in New Jersey? I want you to see that God is using you. God is using us to change this region. And I think sometimes we just come to the cornfield. We're not just in a cornfield. There's over 100 people are watching online every single Sunday morning. We don't know how many people. That's how many computers. God is changing lives because of you. Can you turn to someone and say, thank you so much? Come on, tell somebody, thank you so much. Come on, tell somebody, thank you so much for changing lives. This revival that we're doing in the openness, it's called Rock the City. And we're going to rock the city with the power of God. Amen. The last thing that was done in that area was 94 years ago. And we're coming in, and we are with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I can't wait to see that park, Grove Park, filled with people passionately getting saved and set free, healed of every disease, every devil being cast out. I can't wait to see the footprint of heaven back in that region of Grove Park. I don't know about you. I'm excited because I'm not in this for religion. I'm in this to see lives changed by Jesus. Amen. I said amen. Praise the Lord. I want to say, do we have any guests this morning? If you're a first time, we're not going to make you stand or anything. But if you're a first time, I'm just sharing my heart. If you're a first time guest, could you raise your hand? We have a gift for you. We want to bless you this morning. Is there any first time guests in the house this morning? I know it's NASCAR weekend, dear Lord. Oh, over on this side, do we have a guest? Oh, very good. We do. A young man over on that side. Very good. Anybody else? A guest at the house. Can we give our guest a hand clap? Hallelujah. If you're watching online, I want to remind you that you are our guest as well, and you are part of our family. You are part of the online campus of His Tabernacle Family Church. Can we give our online campus a hand clap this morning? I want to remind you that you need to bring someone to the house of God. If you don't ask, they will not come. They say 3 out of 5 that have been asked to go to church will. So if you don't ask, they won't come. So ask somebody, HT plus one.
Amen. Oh, I want to announce real quickly. Is it in between services? Catch the Vision. Right after service, on the side, we have Catch the Vision. It is powerful so that you can get connected to what God has done and what God is doing in the house. So if you have not yet attended Catch the Vision, I would encourage you to go right down this hallway and attend right after this service. I just want to, in this time of tithes and offerings, just piggyback off of what Pastor has already spoken. You know, I was talking to Cody last night because I'm extremely overwhelmed by this whole situation, and he was saying, you know, I want to have a Nikki Cruz come out of this group of young people that we're investing in. And you know what? I want more than one. I want 50 Nikki Cruises to come out of our seed and our investment. I want every one of those precious young people to be a Nikki Cruz, to be somebody that comes up and comes out and makes a difference. And here's the scripture that I want to read to you. Romans 10:15, and it says, how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And that's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers that bring good news. You are the ones that will turn the world upside down. We need to rejoice over our giving, that we're able to give so that they can hear, so that we can be sent out into Grove Street Park, so that they can hear every Wednesday night, every Thursday night. They can keep hearing the message of the good news of Jesus. That is what our finances that we give in that basket. It is used to take the gospel of Jesus, not only to our region,
but around the world. You are those that have turned the world upside down. Little old Horseheads, New York, changing the world. So get excited about your giving. God desires his children to be prosperous. Why? Because if you're broke and you can't make your next bill and you can't feed yourself, how can you give so that they can hear? How can you give so that we can be sent? God desires you to be prosperous. So whatever position you're in right now, I want you to start believing that God's going to bring increase. You're going to get a promotion. You're going to have favor. Now listen, it doesn't fall out of the sky and land in your lap. If you are lazy, God is not going to bless it. If you bury your gift, it is not blessed. So let's get out and get moving and get this thing done, because God will prosper you so that his word can go forth across the world and lives can be changed and transformed with the truth of Jesus Christ. And we get the privilege of giving towards that. So stand to your feet this morning. Let's make our supernatural declaration from Deuteronomy 28. And I want you to believe this for yourself. No matter what situation or position you are in financially, I want you to say it today like you know it is going to happen, because he wills that not one should perish. So he needs you blessed so that his kingdom can be furthered. It says in Deuteronomy 28, if I obey, oh, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, click on the giving button and give right along with us.
There's a miracle in this room with my name on. There's a breakthrough in this room. It's got my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. What you gonna do this morning? I'm gonna
put a
to the top. There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. There's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this room. It's got my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Praise God. Isn't God good? I hope you don't mind. I would like you I need to do a TV intro and exit. Are you going to come? We're going to do a television intro and exit. Is that all right? Because I think sometimes you need to remember that the television program really is changing lives. Wherever we go, it's a horrible scenario. You know, people come up to us and say, I watch you every week. And it's horrible because I can't yell at my wife in public or nothing. I've always got to behave myself. And that's tough sometimes. You need to recognize. We were sitting yesterday. We went to Curly's Chicken. And a young lady looked over and she goes, hi. I watch every week. I said, then I'll wave to you. It's a,
wave to her.
Not yet, honey. But you need to know all the way from Alfred University down to Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, all the way to Troy, all the way into Ithaca, all the way down to Vestal, I believe, almost to Binghamton. The telecast goes out every Sunday morning on ABC and CBS. So this word that I preach, you know, that we preach, goes out to all this community. And they're watching. Many officials are watching. And let me tell you what I'm praying for. Let me, so you can be in agreement with me. I want to pay this building off.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we've been on television now for 4 years. I'm believing God that somebody from the television who's watching, who's probably never stepped foot in this building, is going to cut a $1 million check towards the paying off of this building. I have no question. I've met millionaires that watch the telecast every single week. I'm just praying that God will minister to their heart, that they will write a check for $1 million to help pay this building off. I believe that's easy. How many of you believe that's easy?
Amen.
That's easy. They've been getting fed every week. Their money's just sitting in the bank. It's time to give it to the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
So are you ready? We're going to do a TV commercial. You can keep going, Pastor, and everything like that. Here we go. No, you can keep going. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and this is my beautiful wife, Rhonda, and we're the pastors of His Tabernacle Family Church, and you're watching His Word TV. Did I ever say that, His Word TV? No, I didn't, so we got to start over. Here we go. 5, 4, what? Thank you. Hey, you know, we're growing together. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and this is my beautiful wife, Rhonda.
Hello.
And we're the pastors of His Tabernacle Family Church, and you're watching His Word TV. Today, we're excited that you're participating with us wherever you are, no matter what situation you're in. We want you to know that Jesus Christ truly is your answer. So today, as you hear the word, it's called the first. This is the second part. So if you miss the first, make sure you jump online and watch the archives. But this is the message about the very first time you hear words being spoken and the power that they have. So let's get ready. Hear the word together. Cut. Ready? Here we go. We're going to finish it out. Here it goes. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The challenge is, whose words are you listening to and whose words are you speaking? You see, today, even to be saved, you got to speak words. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So today, to be saved, you need to speak it. So if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never accepted him as your Lord, or maybe you're in a backslidden condition, I want to pray with you right now. If you'll bow your heads with me, let's pray together and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. Are you ready? Bow your head. Let's pray right out loud. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you gave yourself for me. And right now, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I declare you died. You rose from the dead. And you're coming back. And now, my sins are washed away. I'm your child. I'm never going back to the world. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we have a Bible for you. You need to join Rock Solid Faith. I'll tell you something. You need to get solid in the gospel. And you need to get down here this morning, 16 Level Acres Drive, right here, 9 or 11. I'll see you in just a little bit. Cut. Every single week, this message goes out to our community, and I need you to recognize how powerful and life-transforming that is, because people are getting saved by watching the telecast every single week. Well, it has been 3 weeks since I've been in the pulpit. I want you to know you're going to get late today. Turn to someone and say, you're going to be late. That's right. 3 hours, we're out. Boom. So today, I just want you to know I love being your pastor. And you know, the very first week, you heard Pastor Cody preach. Then you heard Brother Shelton preach. How many of you enjoyed Brother Shelton? Powerful man of God. He went right from here down to Rodney Howard Brown's church. And then we also had Brother Teddy Shuttlesworth. How many of you enjoy Brother Teddy preaching the word? We have such dynamic ministries that come into this church. We're very, very, very blessed. Amen? But I love preaching the word, and I was jealous sitting there eating my jelly beans. Glory to God. I just needed to preach the word. So this is the year of... That was so weak. I said, this is the year of... Come on now. It's been 3 weeks. You got this bottled up. I said, this is the year of... Very good. Kingdom seed. Seek ye first the... And the very powerful principle of seed is everything in the scripture. We've been talking this whole year about this principle and how every one of us are the compilation of the seeds that we planted. Our lives are literally living harvest. You see, we don't get harvest without planting seeds. So if you don't like your life, if you don't like what you're experiencing, then you need to make a decision that I'm going to plant different seeds. We talked about our seeds of time, our seeds of thoughts, our seeds that go into the ground, our own heart. And we've been talking about, 3 weeks ago we started, about the seeds of our words, how the words that we speak are powerful. We talked about the firsts. We talked about how God's first words were creative and blessing. Adam's first words were blessing. The very first words of Eve, though, she allowed an open dialogue with the diabolical. We know that the very first words of Satan in the scripture was that he spoke and caused doubt and unbelief of the very words of God himself. You see, the first principle is one that we've got to lay hold of, because that always shows the very principle factor that we live. Now, we know that the devil has not changed his diabolical plot. We know what it is always to divide and conquer. We know the very device of the devil is that he strives to bring doubt and unbelief to your life about God's word. For God's word is high and lifted up. We know that God holds his word even above his name. How many of you believe the word of God is God's word? Ah, how many of you believe the word of God is God's word? Absolutely. And if it's God's word, then God cannot lie. And if God cannot lie, then the truths that are there, for the Son has come to set us free, and free indeed. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The word changes us. This is why the more you're in the word, the more dangerous you become. Because the word of God, the words of heaven are creative. The words of God are giving life. The words of God will change us, and the words of Satan or the words of the world will cancel the words of God, and we must make a decision whose words we will speak and whose words we will listen to. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And every one of us are living in this life. You are hearing right now the very words of heaven. You're hearing the word of God. And as you're hearing the word of God, the Bible says your faith is starting to rise. Why? Because Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit. These are spiritual words. Every word has a spiritual connection. Every word that is spoken creates in our own brain physically. It's time to recognize that if we're not careful about what we speak, we're not careful about what we hear, then we will be bringing demise to our own lives. Are you out there this morning? I am not a guest speaker. I expect the amens. You're out of practice. Glory to God. Psalms chapter 1 verse 3 makes our declaration for the year. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Turn to someone and say, I thank God for prosperity. I will prosper more this year than ever before. Some of you don't even realize what you did, but I got you to speak life. I got you to declare and to decree over the very dirt that's in your life, your very heart, that God's word will come true. For if you do not believe Psalms 1 verse 3, then it's just a nice little text. But when you lay hold of it, it becomes life to you. And I don't know about you, but this is who I am, and whatever I do shall prosper. This morning, I want you to see that the seeds of our words are our harvest. I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. I'm going to read quickly, and it says this. Now, the next day, when they had come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not in season for figs. In response, Jesus said, by shout, Jesus said. Come on, shout, Jesus said. Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Something happened here supernaturally, and I want you to recognize that the words that we speak are not natural. The words that we speak are supernatural. The words that we speak literally, not figuratively, either create life and or death within our own brain. We already studied all of that. There's a need for you and I to say to ourselves that what we hear had better be the words of God. You see, Jesus came upon this fig tree and he made a decision. He cursed the fig tree. He spoke death to the fig tree. And I want you to recognize that life and or death are in your tongue. Many of us just look at us as people just meandering through this planet, and hopefully Jesus comes really quick so that we don't have to, you know, go through too much struggle. But I want you to recognize this truth, that you and I are on this planet, not just sitting here. We're not living by our own strength, for in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. But we are here as ambassadors of the Most High God, and God has given us an authority in his name. And when we speak, God will use the words of our mouths to bring life and or death. Every one of us, you spoke this morning. What did you speak? I try to speak in tongues more often than I speak in anything else because my own mouth gets me in trouble. Can I hear an amen or oh my? The more you pray in tongues, and this is why I believe Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all, because a lot of us allow our brain to run rampant, and then we allow those words to escape our mouths. And when the words escape our mouths, they are actually activating activity in our life. They're either feeding the negative circumstances or bringing forth the life of God in your circumstance. They're either going to continue to make you less prosperous or they'll make you more prosperous. You see, Jesus understood that when he looked at that fig tree and he cursed it, that he knew without a question that it was going to die. The problem was the disciples heard it but did not believe it. You see, many of us live the life of Luciferianism in this realm. And that is, we go to church, we hear the Bible being preached, we open the scripture, we listen to verses being preached, but we allow the very Lucifer who was in the garden with Eve to bring doubt to the word of God, therefore disembarking us from the very blessings of heaven. It takes us out of the promised land. It takes us out of the blessing. It's time to say to the devil, get behind me, you foul spirit. It's time to bring our thoughts into captivity. Why? Because the very thoughts of our mind and the very words of our mouth will disembark us from God's blessing in our lives. We've got to be careful what we talk. We teach our kids that, don't we? We teach our kids to be careful what we speak, what they speak, and be careful what they say. But yet as adults, we walk around and we speak whatever we want, and we can't understand why our harvest stinks. Our harvest is directly attached to the seeds of our words. We're either speaking blessing and creation like God himself, or we're speaking death and disembarkment like Eve and Lucifer. There are no two other ways. There is no middle of the way. I've watched people right on the precipice of their miracle, right on the place where they're about ready to receive. I felt faith rising in me. I felt the gifts of the Spirit getting ready to be released. But yet they looked and they spoke doubt and unbelief and canceled the will of God. God's will has been canceled in so many people's lives because of the words that we speak. I don't know if you got that. Some of you sat back and you said, well, I don't know where God is. Well, you know, I prayed, but nothing seemed to happen. I don't understand what happened with Jesus. And God is saying, no, I had your design. I had your plan. I was getting ready to release the supernatural. You started to declare it. You started to walk in faith. You started to declare it by faith. But yet a circumstance came into your situation that took your eyes off of me, and you put your eyes on the devil. You put your eyes on the world. You put your eyes on your circumstance, and you would rather believe your circumstance than my word. You trust more in what you can see than what you cannot see. You don't walk by faith, you walk by sight. And then we get mad at God. God, where are you? And God is saying, no, I don't live in that realm. Oh, I don't live in that realm. I live in the realm of faith. I live in the realm of the word. My word will be released on this world only when my word is lived within. So you cannot participate with the supernatural until you invoke the word of God, the words of heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught us to pray that way. Why? Because so many of us live in the realm of what we can see, touch, feel, the five senses, and we disembark, we take away from, we step away from the supernatural because we'd rather live in what we can control than allowing God to control. We would rather believe the words of Satan, the words of our flesh, rather than the words of God. See, we've got to make a decision here. Because if you can't even believe, and this is where some people are, they can't trust God with their finances. They can't trust God with their family. They can't trust God with anything else in their life, except they did say the prayer once. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. When you trust the Lord, it's beyond just a nice little religious slogan that we seem to say to try to get our pass out of hell and into heaven. It is a lifestyle of living where we grow in faith, we grow in maturity, we grow in the place where we understand that Christ's words are more powerful than the words that are spoken on this planet. And it's the words of God that will change your circumstances. It's the words of God that will move your mountain. It's the words of God that will make the impossible come to become possible. It's the words of God that will bring life and not death. And if we don't start laying hold of this, then we're always going to be, where's God? There's nothing that God has that he doesn't want to give to you. There's no blessing that he's trying to withhold from your life. So why do so many live in poverty? And I'm not talking money poverty. I'm talking spiritual poverty. The reason is because our mouths talk too much. God's waiting to release, and we curse the release. God's waiting to heal, and we curse the healing. God's waiting to deliver, and we curse the delivering. God's waiting to restore your marriage, but he can't because all you speak is death to your spouse. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You see, Jesus didn't just talk about this. He lived this. Like I said in John chapter 6, verse 63, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 22, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them, Jesus taught them, as one having authority, not as the scribes. So it's not that they weren't hearing the same teaching. Hear me now. It's not that they weren't hearing the same teaching. The scribes were teaching. But there was something about Jesus. You see, Jesus understood who he was. Jesus understood his call. Jesus understood that he was our example, that if Jesus could do it, we could do it. The Bible makes that declaration in the book of John chapter 14. And greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. So what's happened is Christ was literally showing us everything he did on this planet, he says you're going to be able to do. If Jesus did it, you can do it. Turn to someone and say, if Jesus did it, you can do it. So why are so many of us in this position where we're constantly struggling? We're on the roller coaster ride in our mind. We're on the roller coaster ride with our health. We're on the roller coaster ride with our relationships. We're on the roller coaster ride with our walk with God. It comes down to the reality of the power of the spoken word. You see, when Jesus spoke, he spoke with authority. What is the word of authority? It's called exousia in the Greek. It is the word that says, I have been given authority. I have the right to dispel. I have the right to stand here. You see, when you know you belong at the table, you sit up differently. When you recognize who you are, you have a confidence. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and the answer is already on the way. You see, Jesus lived in exousia, jurisdiction, the right over. And you see, you cannot have dunamis power, supernatural power being released in your situation until you understand your exousia. When I look at my dog, I tell my dog, sit. You know what my dog does? He sits. When I go like this to my dog, he looks at me, looks at my finger, and he sits. I don't even have to speak it because I have authority. I wish it worked that way in marriage sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm just teasing, really. If I said anything like that and I meant it, I'd be killed when I got home. So, when you recognize your authority, when you look at your child, say, go clean your room, and they tell you, when I want, you're actually, you know what they're telling you? You have no exousia. I was watching a child the other day as this child was running around, screaming and yelling and making a ruckus. And I'm looking to the parent, and the parent goes, be quiet. And I'm saying, yeah, you got no authority over that child. That child has authority over you. You see, authority means jurisdiction. We know that Jesus has given us jurisdiction. For his name is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, on earth, under the earth, and on the earth. We know that in Jesus' name we have the authority to stand here because he has sent us. He made the declaration in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. All authority has been given to me. Verse 19, now go! You see, Jesus gave us the authority that he was given in heaven. That same exousia, that same jurisdiction, that same power, that same authority over that Jesus Christ had on the planet, you have also. So what Jesus could do, you can do. So when Jesus spoke to that fig tree and he spoke it to die, you see, he had the authority from heaven to take life from what was living. The Bible makes a declaration that Jesus was on the sea with the disciples. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 27, the disciples who were professional fishermen were in this mode where they were going across to the other side, and a great tempest arose by the sea, and the boat was covered with waves, the word of God declares. But where was Jesus? He was asleep on the bow. The professional fishermen were freaked out. What do you mean, Jesus? You're sleeping. Jesus got up and said, oh, ye of little Why could Jesus say that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I only go where my Father has told me to go. I only say what my Father has told me to say. Which means this, if we're going to the other side, it don't matter if we ride on the waves, under the waves, or simply skip. If God says we're going, we're going. For God's word is above a storm. God's word is above your trial. God's word is above the curse that others have placed. God's word is above all things. But until we recognize it, we will be like the disciples going frantic on the boat. Jesus got up with great peace and he just walked over and he said, peace, be still. The exousia, the authority of his words, penetrated in the natural and made nature itself stop.
Well, you know, that was Jesus. Hallelujah.
Whatever Jesus can do, you can do. Whatever Jesus can do, you can do. Whatever Jesus can do, you can do. The exousia he walked in, which released the dunamis, will be the exousia we walk in that releases the dunamis. And that is released not by a thought. That is released by words. I love what the disciples said. Who can this be that even the winds and the wave and the seas obey him? Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 13 is the centurion. Centurion came to Jesus and said, my servant is paralyzed. Jesus said, I'll go. I don't know about you. Everybody wants Jesus to go, right? Hey, I need you, Lord. I'm on my way. Jesus was getting ready to go on his way, but I love what the centurion said. He said, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come into my house. Only speak the word. You see, he said, I am a man of authority too. I am a man of exousia too. And if I tell a man to go, he goes. And if I tell a man to come, he comes. So Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, just speak the word of the miraculous. And time has no dimension. I'll tell you right now, space has no dimension that will hold back the power of the living God. For faith that is released through the spoken word will make even your greatest circumstance change. For God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. It's time to get back to believing that the Bible is true and that Jesus Christ, what he said, is truth. And if you can do it, he can do it. And if he can do it, you can do it. You see, the remainder of the story that we started with in Mark chapter 11 said this. Now in the morning, as they had passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up by the roots. I love Peter. Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, Rabbi, look. I love this, right? Jesus walking by the day before. Cursed at your root. No one will ever eat from you again. Spoken words. Exousia releases the dunamis supernatural. The disciples saw, they heard what he said. The Bible said, they heard what he said. But that fig tree did not change, did not curl up, did not shrivel up in front of them. There was no physical manifestation that the words of Christ activated death within that plant. But the next day, they're walking by and Pete says, hey, Jesus, look, it worked. Which shows what? Peter didn't really believe that the words had power. Jesus wasn't shocked. He wasn't like, wow, Peter, that's stinking cool, isn't it? Wow, it really does work. No, Jesus knew that when he spoke the words in exousia, that the dunamis power of God would be released. There was not a wonder. There was not a thought. It was not a contemplation. It was not a doubt. When he spoke it, he knew it. And you see, he said to this thing, he said, die, and it died. But you see, Peter and those guys heard it, but they didn't see it. You see, they based their faith on what they could see, not what the word of God says. Oh, listen, you get that nugget, your life changes. You don't get that nugget, every time trouble comes in your life, you won't trouble your trouble. You'll go into freak mode. It comes down to what you believe. For how you believe, how you perceive is what you believe. What you believe is what you receive. You see, Peter could have spoke to that tree, and guess what would have happened? It's still been alive the next day. Some of you have spoken to your mountains, and guess what? They're still alive. Why? You don't believe it. You believe God's word is less powerful than the circumstance you're facing in your life. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? You can't just say, yes, I can. Well, by the words of your mouth, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. One minute you speak faith, the next minute you speak doubt. James chapter 3 says, can salt water and fresh water come out of the same fountain? That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. The words of our mouth. Because of the exousia that we carry, not because of who we are, but because of the baton and the authority that has been passed to us, the very words of our mouth start creating our realities. I didn't research it enough, so I'm just going to inference it. A grade school child took plants and spoke life over one section and death over the next section, and didn't talk to the other ones. The ones that she spoke life to aspired. The ones that she neglected and didn't speak anything to, it did aspire, but less. And the ones that she, and we're talking about plants. We're talking a child. The ones she spoke death to didn't aspire at all. We're talking plants. I'm not talking people. Some of you have been told your whole life you're worthless, that you're never going to make anything of yourselves. Some of you have been told, well, you know what? You live in this environment, this is just the way you're going to be. I knew one pastor told a guy that my brother-in-law knew, he told him, listen, you'll always be a loser and you'll end up on welfare. See, the very words of your mouth, if people put faith in them and you put faith in the words that are opposite from God's words, you now are shaping your harvest. You're shaping your harvest. Even worldly people know this. Read business books. How to Win Friends and Influence People. Business book. Think and Grow Rich, a business book, saturated by biblical principles. Because the world has figured it out many times before the church has, that the words that you speak are either life and or death, and you will conform your life to that death or to that life. And the very words that we speak will either agree with God or disagree with God. We're either telling God, you're righteous, you're true, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life, or Jesus, you just need to shut up, sit down, because I believe that this is more of a reality than you are. Oh, we would never say that with our words, but we say that with our lives. Listen, we have doctors that come to this church, but many of you would rather believe the doctor's words over your life than the report of the Lord. You believe the banker before you believe the word. You believe your boss before you believe the word. We've got to shake ourselves because the reality is not that. The reality is the word of God. And either God's word is true or it's a lie. And if it's a lie, let's stop playing this stupid, foolish game and go home. Let's go watch NASCAR. Never understand it. I just watched the recap so I can see the accidents. That's all I care about. whose report will you believe? Well, you know, they told me this. Who cares what they told you? Well, you know, the doctor told me that I have this disease. Who cares what the doctor said? This is what you say. Doc, thank you so much. You're doing the best that you can. Because they are. They're doing the best that they can. Doctors practice medicine still. You know that, right? They're still practicing. We're the people they're practicing on. Some of you put more faith in the doctors than you do in the word. And yet doctors, listen, every single year, because they're practicing and they're learning and they're growing, there's over 90,000 people that die a year by the hands of doctors on accidents. That's double the amount that died in Vietnam. Only 1% of all medication have any healing element to them at all. The rest are just masks. But we'll take a prescription that is 15 digits long. We can't even read it. We don't know what it is. But we put more faith in that than we do in Jesus. Listen, I'm not saying get off your medication. I'm not saying don't. I thank God for doctors. When you see them put people together, it's a great thing. God put doctors on the earth to help the earth. Can I hear an amen? But they're not Jesus. And when you put more faith in the doctor than you do in Christ, then what you're saying is, Eve, I believe like you believe. Eve, I receive like you receive. Here's what Jesus, when Peter said that, hey, Jesus, it really worked. Jesus said, have faith in God. It's an old Shambach saying, old A.A. Allen saying, you don't have trouble, have faith in God. But we have faith in so many other things besides Jesus. You see, what you believe is what you speak. How do you talk? Trouble comes in your life. Well, you know, this is happening in my life, and I'm not saying it's not real. I'm telling you it's very real. Jesus actually told us, gave us a prescription. Turn to someone and say, I love prescriptions. Have faith in God, for without question I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, now watch, Jesus not only gave the prescription, but then he did it. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask in when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. He lived it. It wasn't just words. A gospel that you can't live is not a gospel, it's a religion. The gospel says this. If you say to your mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, you shall have what you ask. And whatever you ask in Jesus' name, he'll give it to you. Now, I live this. I'm blessed. And I choose not to just keep this as a figurative philosophy. But I choose to live this, that the word of God is above every circumstance. Now, if the word of God isn't clear on it, then I've got to pray, God, what is your will in this situation? But when the will of God is clear, I don't need to pray, oh God, what is your will? I just simply declare and decree the word of the Lord over my situation. And if you do not doubt and have doubt come up and creep up, then you will have what you ask. Listen, I am so stinking blessed. God has blessed me time and time out. I can't even tell you the amount of times I look at situations that everybody says is possible, and I call that thing which is not as though it already is. Why? Because I know I have exousia. Therefore, my exousia will activate the dunamis supernatural power of God, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It doesn't matter what comes against me. I'm going to stand here, for I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus
Jesus my Lord. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the bank says. I know this, that God can even get me to go cast a fish hook in the pond and I can pull out enough money to pay whatever I need to pay. Do you believe that God is supernatural? Do you believe that nothing is impossible? Do you believe the word of God? Or do you believe like Eve? When you believe like Eve, recognize what happens. You get to participate with the belief of Eve. Thorns, thistles, pain, stress, separation. It's a long list. Every time that we don't participate with God and His Word, we participate with Eve's beliefs. So if you find Eve's beliefs being a bigger part of your life than the promises that are yea and amen, then you need to say to yourself, I'm definitely not getting enough word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, and doubt is overwhelming me. Therefore, I'm believing what I'm not supposed to be, and therefore I'm receiving the harvest of my words and my declaration. Oh, but Pastor, I've seen people that we've spoken life over them and they've died. I didn't know, realize you were the healer. You don't know what's in their heart. You don't know what's in their life. Your job's to pray in faith. You're not the miracle worker. Your job's to believe and not doubt. You live in that realm, you'll always live successful. But you live the life of Eve, then you can't be shocked. And when the words of your mouth disenfranchise you from God's promises, you can't get mad at God. And this is where many believers are. You don't mind me getting straight up, right? Oh, Pastor, I'm believing the Lord for this in my life. And you know, you start speaking it. And you actually believe in it. And all of a sudden, God starts opening opportunity for that. And then all of a sudden, something bad happens in that situation. And you look and you say, well, you know, I don't understand what's going on here. It's not working for me. And I guess it's not going to happen. Boom. And it won't happen. You just canceled the supernatural by throwing away your exousia. God has never called you to deny fact, but He's never called you to live by fact. He's called you to live by truth. The truth is the word of God. Speak the word. Or just be quiet. Everyone thinks their opinion means something. Everyone thinks that somebody has to hear your voice. Do you want to know what made Jesus so successful? He only said what the Father told him to say, which was the words of God. When you speak the words of God more than you speak the words of your flesh, success is inevitable. But whenever you speak your own opinion and your own thoughts, the fool lets everyone hear their thoughts and their emotions, because they're shaping their harvest. What harvest do you want? What harvest are you speaking? What are the words of your mouth? Life or death? When trouble comes, do you trouble your trouble, or do you allow it to take away the very breath in your bones? It's time to say, I don't care what I see. I'm going to declare what the word says. I don't care if people like it. I don't care if people agree with it. I don't care if they call me crazy. This one thing I know, if God said it, therefore it is. And if it is, I will not be moved. For God's word is sure and steadfast. Everything else in this world will change, but God's word will never change. You see, you only have one stability in your life. Everything else is changing constantly. That is the word of God. So why not speak the word with exousia and see the dunamis released, instead of speaking the word with doubt and seeing everything decease? That was tweetable. Let me say it again. Why don't we start speaking the word in faith and seeing increase, than speaking the word in doubt and seeing decease? It's choice. Can't blame anybody else. Your husband, your wife, your mama, your daddy, they can't shape your future. Well, I was brought up in a bad part of town. Can't shape your future. Well, I was brought up with a silver spoon. Can't shape your future. Well, I was brought up in church. Can't shape your future. Well, I wasn't brought up in church. It can't shape your future. Your future is shaped by the words you believe. His word brings increase. Our word brings decrease. Whose words do you believe in your life? Bow your heads with me this morning. Well, I gave you what I promised. I preached long, and it felt good. I don't know what mountain you're facing in your life, but I know this, is that God's word and God himself is more powerful than any mountain you're facing. I'm going to lay hands on folk, pray with folk. Team was going to pray with folk. But honestly, you don't need that. You need to learn this otherwise. That you don't need anybody to lay hands on you. When you understand your exousia, you release the dunamis. If you need someone to pray with you, that's okay. Sometimes we need a faith friend. But you need to repel anybody in your life that is speaking death to you. When Jesus went to go pray for that little girl who is dead, he kicked everybody out of the room but the mother, the father, and his three disciples, the three closest. Why? Because he didn't want doubt and unbelief in the room. When you need God to move in a miracle, you cannot afford people to be around you that are going to speak death. And you need to take a posture. Well, you know, I'm just trying to be a realist. No, you're an Evist. Eve or God? Eve or God? Eve or God? Well, I'm not bashing Eve. Please understand. That means man too. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just as we did with the intro to the television program, the fact is this. You must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. For with the confession, salvation is brought. You got to believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Today, if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, I don't have a religion for you. I have Jesus for you. It's time to step into the supernatural. It's time to living in success for the things of God. Today, if you're not born again, today, if you're not sure if you die, you're going to go to heaven. Oh, I got time that, listen, I'm not capitalizing on a sad situation, but that 12-year-old boy this last week thought he had time. 12 years old. No one is guaranteed the next day. I thank God that he's promised me 70. I'm going to get all of them and a little bit more. But the fact is that if you're not following Christ, your day can end any day. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you want him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. Is there anyone this morning that needs Jesus as their Savior? 5. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4. Get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. We're gonna move the class to next week, Pastor. Where's Pastor? And I need to end in 3 minutes, or I'm gonna cause a collision in the children's ministry. Today, if you've got a mountain in your life, and you need exousia spoken over your life to release the dunamis, I want you to get out of your chair. Come right up front right now. I'm not gonna wait. Remember, it's those ones that came to Christ that got their miracle. Everyone else, I want you to know this. If you're married, keep your spouse honest this week. Every time they start speaking death, look at them and say, "Hello, Eve." Just so we don't offend the ladies. If it's a guy, say, "Hello, Steve." All right? If you need a miracle, get your hands up and just start receiving right now. Just start speaking life over your situation. If it's an impossibility, start speaking to it right now. Start speaking to your mountain. Say unto your mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. Do not doubt. If you have doubt in your heart, right now confess it before the Lord. Say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for doubt in my own heart. Lord, I ask that you wash it away. I refuse to allow doubt to rule and reign in my life. Today, if you're here and you're all ready to go, you're more than welcome. Father, I dismiss your house, Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, let them all be blessed in whatever they touch. Let it prosper in Christ's name. For we are that tree that's planted by the waters in Jesus' name. And we will produce our fruit. We will have deep roots. And God, we will always prosper in all that we touch. So bless the house of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you're around the altar, don't go. I'm going to pray with you right now. Get ready. If you're here and you need to go, we love you. Serve God with all of your heart.